going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Rise.
It's time to wake on up.
Wake up.
With a nice cup of Joe.
What's up, Joe, bro?
Featuring Joe Spadoni.
He's an Italian.
And Joe, the Butcher Boy Shasky.
I am slippery.
Oh!
The best part of waking up is morning roast in your cup.
It is the morning roast, man, on 95.7 The Game.
One ball, center field. Back goes Lee. He is still back. A grand slam for Christian Yelich opens this ball game wide open. Home run number 5, and he goes dead central.
You could almost feel that coming. He was
2-2 coming.
That sound courtesy of FanDuel Sports Network. I don't think that was Brian Anderson because he's been filling in for TNT doing the NBA action there, but it was the backup for the Brew Crew as they won 11-3 over the San Francisco Gigantes. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. It's Spadoni. It's Shasky. We got Carter in the back. We got Sam. And we got action tonight. This week is insane. It honestly is. We got the draft tomorrow, but more importantly, we got game 2 between the Rockets and the Warriors in H-Town tonight. All coverage right here on 95.7 The Game all day long. I can't wait for that. We'll break down the Giants. And also some 49ers news as OTAs began yesterday, Joe. And what do you know? Brock Purdy showed up. Fred Warner showed up. George Kittle did not show up, and we'll get to that at some point today. Good morning. How you doing?
Good morning.
It's windy out there, man.
It really is. I don't know about you, but the allergies have been hitting me in right here. So I get to like the sinuses, and I'm going over the orbitals, through the nostrils, and into like the cheekbones. I get it really bad. But you know what?
Yeah. Well, have you seen my nose? Like it's just a pocket for pollen. So that's what happens. Trust unfortunately,
but I got my avocado. Oh, it's a superfood, and I'm ready to eat it. I already ate one half. I did a little emergency, you know, got my emergency.
Hey, it's Joe Shasky here for avocados.
Exactly. You know, I'm all about, you know, steaming it out. I will say this. When I do get the bad sinuses, I'll wake up at like 2 in the morning because the wind, right? The wind was just going crazy. I wake up, I go, oh, my God, massive, massive sinus headache. Warm washcloth over the face. Is that still a thing?
Yeah, well, I do in the shower if I'm feeling like that. I do super hot showers, and I just close my eyes, and I'm right near the nozzle. I just feel it on my face.
But that's still a thing.
Good steam. I like to get hot tea in the morning and do that a little bit.
Tea?
Yeah.
Yeah, tea for me is like a last resort.
Okay.
Yeah, but I will do it. But I like the hot. There's something about the hot towel over the eyes that kind of clears me up. Now, I needed some hot towels over my eyes for the defense yesterday for the San Francisco
Yikes.
Giants.
Well, I thought you were going to go grandson of the wind, Jung-Hoo Lee there. But again, it all works out. Okay. Well, it was brutal. It was a brutal watch.
There was a couple of situational plays. So, like, you know, baseball defense is about knowing, you know, pre-pitch, hey, if the ball's hit to me, where am I going to go with it? What's the situation, right? Where are the runners at? What are they trying to do? If the ball's not hit to me, where am I going? And you're going to look and you're going to see two errors from the Giants yesterday. One from Patrick Bailey throwing one, which he just should never throw, and another one from Willy Adames. But they had multiple gaffes in this one. And a simple play like this, it's a runner on first, and there's a base hit to left field, and Ramos comes throwing to third, and you allow the back runner, who is Christian Yelich, to go basically from first to second because you're throwing three, even though you have no chance of throwing out Jackson Chourio, and now you take away the force play up the middle, and now you have two players in scoring position. Little things like that. Now, they've been really buttoned up in terms of playing pretty fundamental baseball, but I thought yesterday Jordan Hicks should not have been on the hook for as bad of an outing as it might have looked if you were looking at the box score, because I thought there were a lot of little things that his defense didn't do, like that play by Ramos, that kind of sets you up for failure if you're a starting pitcher.
Jordan Hicks yesterday, 5 innings, 8 hits, 5 earned runs, as you're alluding to, 5 Ks with 3 walks. He wasn't great.
I don't want to pretend like he was great.
Behind him, Willy Adames with a bad throwing error. Bailey had one. It was just not a great game overall. And those happen. It's a long season, man. Just sweep that one under the rug, come back today, and try to win this series, man. And you got one more after that. We got a, what, 12:45?
Hey.
Maybe I'll go out to the yard tomorrow. No, tomorrow, I'm saying. We got 12:45 pitch. I might head out to the yard for my first game this year, Joe.
Nice.
I might do that.
You know, it's,
I hope it's not windy, though. If it's windy, I'm out.
Yeah, I feel you on that. It's just, the Brewers are a team that I think everybody brings up, like, the Tampa Bay Rays, in terms of, like, smartly run, you know, good fundamental baseball team that competes every single year. And if you look at their payroll versus maybe, like, their win total every year, they get great bang for the buck.
They do. They've only, like, in my lifetime, really paid, like, a couple guys, Yelich being one of them. I think Ryan Braun, maybe a Ricky Weeks, yeah, back in the day, right?
So, Chourio recently.
Chourio, obviously, yeah. So, they identify their young talent early and try to keep those one guy.
No doubt.
That one guy that you can keep for a long time, they do that. And they're, like you said, they're always fundamentally sound. They're usually one and done in the playoffs, but they make the playoffs.
Every year.
Yeah.
And look, that division is kind of like right now, it's an odd division.
Yeah.
But I want to give them credit. They play a really fun brand of baseball, and they've got a lot of good players. Contreras is a good player. Terang, second baseman, is a really good player. And I'm watching that team, and I say to myself, like, you know, there is something to be said for just being a smart, well-run organization, that you don't have to spend the most amount of money. But now, to your point, if you want to win big in the playoffs, having 3-4 deep at the pitching staff and being able to afford an injury and be able to buy a guy at the deadline, those things do matter. That is what separates the Dodgers and the Yankees from some of these other teams.
And remember, Corbin Burns was their guy, right? And there was the whole, like, cheap moniker when he left. He just wanted to get paid, and then it went to arbitration, and there was bad blood between both of them. Eventually, he goes to the Orioles, and now he's with the Arizona Diamondbacks, obviously, but yeah, there's a lot baked into it. And I know Brewers particularly, they're trying to get like a new stadium, right? They're trying to get like the public's money for it. There's a whole thing laid into it.
Was pretty relatively new.
Well, that's the thing, right?
20 years?
Well, remember when the Braves built their new stadium, and their stadium, their other one was built like in 1993 or something. I was like,
can I tell you what I'm out on?
Yeah.
I'm completely out on public funding of these stadiums. Now, I understand there's a happy medium. Like, for example, with the Warriors Stadium, did the city pay for certain infrastructure around the stadium? Of course they did, right? Do we create certain bonds and tax measures in this new quote-unquote entertainment district, which is where the Warriors Stadium is, to try to kind of subsidize some of this infrastructure, whether it's the BART platform, the Muni platforms, mm-hmm. or some of the other things that are in the air? Of course. But, like, asking the public to put on a new roof or build an entire new stadium, I'm just so out on that.
Well, I'm glad you brought up the Warriors and organizations, right? And trust me, we'll talk Giants, we'll talk Niners. We're talking all of it. We talked all of it yesterday, and it was quite refreshing. We're going to talk about all the teams today as well. 888-957-9570 is the number. And shout out to those watching on Twitch, Twitter, and YouTube. Brought to you by First NorCal Credit Union for a low-rate auto loan. Apply online or just ask for First NorCal financing at the dealer. And again, call or text the same number. And the Boxer and Gerson Work Injury Attorneys text line is now open. We got Ryan Hollins, Rockets TV color analyst and 10-year NBA vet. Remember, used to see him on First Take.
Yeah, he's good.
At ESPN. No, he's got some good stuff. So we're going to talk to him at 6:50. What's the mindset for Houston heading into game two? Because psychologically,
man,
like, this is where I'm at with this game tonight. You win this game tonight if you're the Warriors. On paper, you can't win the series. I get that. But with the win, it, psychologically, the series is over. If you go up 2-0 and you're heading back to Shea Center, psychologically, if you're Houston, yeah, I just don't see a win in four out of the next five games. I just don't see that happening. Well, now, you could push it, okay, and that would hurt the Warriors because rest is important for this team. But on paper, like, you can't win it tonight. Psychologically, you can deal a massive blow tonight winning this game. And I think you're going to get the best fight out of any other game in this series tonight from Houston. They cannot be as bad as they were offensively the other night. They just can't be.
No, they can't. And there's actually something very specific that I'm worried about. If I'm Houston, there's a specific thing that I would be calling for if I was Ime Udoka. And we'll get into it. Just ever so quickly on baseball and the Giants, they do need to think about their rotation here. And I'm looking at this team and what I thought would be like a strength of the roster. Logan Webb has been excellent. Pitched way better than the win-loss record. Verlander, I kind of wanted a little more.
He's an old man. We'll see.
He got screwed in the game on Sunday, so yeah. I'm hoping he could turn things around. Robbie Ray, I'm kind of up in the air on. You know, this is a guy coming back from Tommy John. I have as many question marks as I have optimism. And then Landon Roop's been arguably their second best pitcher. And then Jordan Hicks yesterday. I think Jordan Hicks is a bullpen guy, personally. He's been okay. He's been okay as a starter. But I want to see Hayden Birdsong get into this rotation. And then the question now becomes, well, do you make a deal? Because you do have some guys in the minor leagues. We talked about first base yesterday. You do have some guys in the minor leagues that you could either elevate, like a Carson Wisenhunt, a Kyle Harrison, or maybe you use them as a trade piece to get someone who is major league ready. I don't know. But I do think that they should definitely start considering looking at their rotation and maybe going to one of these younger arms at least one time through the lineup. And maybe Jordan Hicks can be a guy as a ninth inning, you know, as you go kind of closer by committee right now with Doval and Ryan Walker. Mm. Could Jordan Hicks be a guy that you throw in there at the end of the game? Like, I don't love him as a starter. I do really love him as a bullpen arm.
And that's why it hurt, and I know you were very bummed when it happened, when you didn't get Corbin Burns because you thought you were there. Like, just think about Corbin Burns on this team right now with that rotation. I don't mean to bring up old wounds, but like that's why we were talking about why it was such a big, I'm not going to say whiff, because I think Arizona was his number one destination all along. He lives there, state taxes, all that built into it. Just easier for him and his family. But like, imagine him on this rotation right now. And again, you just keep doing what you're doing, Giants. Stay above 500, couple games. You're going to be in it at the trade deadline. You can make a move potentially for a second, a third, a fourth arm, whoever, another big bat in the lineup, right? But you're looking at what Jordan Hicks has done so far this year. It started off pretty good.
It's spotty.
Five innings yesterday, seven innings prior to that, and I know he grinded out that game against the Phillies. It got away from him a little bit early there, but five earned runs against the Yankees, probably his worst start. Seven earned runs there. Against the Mariners, he's pretty solid, but it's been a mixed bag for a guy that was actually really freaking good the first couple months last year.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
At MLBShop.com, you can get all the latest officially licensed merchandise for you and your family. But if you really want to level up your game, you can grab something for your dog walker, your Pilates instructor, your swim coach, your neighbor, your accountant, your gardener, your best friend, your bandmate, your boss, your kid's teacher, your mailman. Visit MLBShop.com and stock up on officially licensed on-field merchandise from your favorite teams.
Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
And then he fell off. What's concerning to me now is that we're seeing that, like, the bad Jordan Hicks a little bit earlier than last year. And that's what's, I'm not sure about it. And again, he's obviously, he deals with the he has diabetes, and there was that whole thing built into it last year. The fatigue, the guy's soaking in sweat sometimes before games. So there's all the
blood sugar. No, that's a real thing.
No, that's a real thing. I know he talks about, I know Mason Miller, the closer for the A's, dealt with it. Like, that's a thing for pitchers. So just something to monitor here early on. Maybe you can get back on track. But you do have that in the back pocket, though, if you want to shift him to the bullpen. Maybe you shift Birdsong into his spot. We'll see.
Well, and I think that why I like that, like, kind of swap out, and it's just one thought. Maybe it's someone else, but Hicks could go multiple innings if you needed him to out of the pen, kind of like how they've been doing with Birdsong.
Ivelo guy makes sense.
Yeah, and I think it would give him an opportunity to be able to just reach back and throw as hard as he wants. I understand that certain guys, though, like him, like, he's kind of expressed, I want to be a starter. I get that. That's where the money is. The money is being a starter. But, dude, you could have another 10-year career if you just stick to the bullpen. It's easy for me to say. It's hard for him to embrace it. I think it would be the best version of him. But I think I'm focused on the rotation, but I don't want to also let it be lost that Adames is not hitting right now at all.
Batting 196.
Okay. Chapman has been quiet. Ramos has been relatively quiet as of late. Now, Flores was good yesterday, but the batting average isn't robust, but he's had some monster moments.
Yeah, he's been clutch.
Lamont Wade has been awful.
You called that one. You were early onto that bandwagon.
He's just been awful. And I don't want to beat the drum on him too much. Matos hasn't been great lately.
No.
VR came back, and I thought, you know, we'll see with VR, because I've gotten teased by him before.
Fitz has looked good.
Fitz has been great.
Yeah.
No, Fitz,
yeah.
Fitz, right now, it's Fitz and Jung Hoo Lee.
Yeah.
That's who's carrying this lineup. And then the other guy who is struggling right now at the plate, even though two nights ago he had a decent day, Patrick Bailey.
Yeah.
Right? I'm talking like four or five guys in this lineup are ice cold.
Mm-hmm. 888-957-9570. We are coming to you live from the Laughing Monk Studios, Laughing Monk Righteously Brewed here in San Francisco. And as you know, Joe, it is a Warriors Wednesday brought to you by Friedman's Appliance. Come see their full selection of in-stock luxury appliances and live working vignettes. Visit Friedman's Appliance in Pleasant Hill today. Ryan Holland, 650, Rockets TV color analyst, NBA vet, and then Dave Fleming to talk some more Gigantes at 8:30. You were out last week when we have Dave back on. He was actually set. He said, and we asked him a Warriors question towards the end. He said he would have been shocked if the Rockets even won the series. The amount of confidence oozing from Dave Fleming in this first round series for the Warriors was palpable. And we got to talk about Rory McIlroy. We got to talk about the Masters with Dave. It was a lot of good stuff. So Dave Fleming today at 8:30. So can't wait to talk about that with Flem. And obviously we'll get into some Niners as well, Joe, because OTA started yesterday. And Ian Rapoport had some interesting sound in regards to the Purdy contract.
Yeah.
And also George Kittle, he's a little skeptical, and it got me a little concerned here in Rapture and what he had to say about George Kittle and that contract negotiation going forward. Yeah, I'm not overly optimistic about Kittle returning anytime soon to practice when it comes to the San Francisco 49ers, so we'll get into that. Also, Steve Kerr joined Willard and Dibbs yesterday, had some good thoughts on that.
Right now, just give me a second to hop on my platform. You brought up the Milwaukee Brewers and wanting money publicly for a stadium. I love my community.
You do.
All right. Last night, my pony team, the 12-year-olds, we have a bunch of teams, but they were playing at Glen Park. And I understand that when you have a community, not everyone is going to get every dollar. right? It's tough, you know? You want to have activities for various groups, and you want to be able to spread the money around, okay? And this is why I'm so passionate against giving billion-dollar corporations handouts and stuff, because there are other people that are much more needy. Should we have pickleball courts for older people? Of course we should. Should we have swim classes for underprivileged people who don't have opportunities to swim? Of course we should. Should we have unbelievable soccer fields for all the kids to be able to play and adults? Absolutely. We should have all those things. One thing here in San Francisco that we've done a very poor job of, and that's something I really want to like change, is baseball facilities for these kids. Oh, inner city baseball's dying. Well, yeah, there's a few reasons. Number one is I don't think that the people in charge of the park system have dedicated enough proper, safe, playable fields to these kids. Last night, our 12-year-olds were playing at Glen Park against the mayor's kids. And Daniel won't say this because he's got too much tact, but I'm going to say it on his behalf. I played at that field my whole life growing up. That field has not had a lick of money or anyone investing any time or love into it, and it is dangerous.
And where is this again?
This is at Glen Park.
Okay.
The field is dangerous. Now, they've redone all the playground structures, and those are amazing. My son was going down the slide the other day. It was great. We had a game on Saturday, and I said, it was a 10U, I said, this field is unplayable. Someone's going to get hurt.
Mm.
One of our kids slid into the base, and you're going to scrape your knees up. I get it. It is a concrete, just rock hard diamond. And if you want to get kids to be A, safe, B, confident, and C, loving a sport, the field has to be playable. So these kids are sliding into second, sliding into third, and they're all bloodying up their legs. Mm. And look, everything is within reason here, but that field is unplayable. I've been on diamonds, and I know it. Yesterday, first inning, ball gets hit up the middle. It's a line drive up the middle. It took four of the nastiest hops I've ever seen, hit the mayor's kid in the mouth, knocked his tooth, all right? Now, I said to the umpire, it's not the umpire's fault, but I said to the umpire, we should not be playing on this diamond. This is where our public money should be going to, fixing up the fields for the kids so that they have a safe, playable diamond. It breaks my soul, and I know we're up against it, that soccer and pickleball and all these others, and I get it. I want to spread it around to all of the different groups that need to have outlets. We have underfunded and underprioritized baseball in this city, and I'm sick of it. And the mayor won't say it, but I'm going to say it on his behalf. It is ridiculous that we are playing on fields that are inadequate and unsafe for these kids. You want baseball to be popular in the inner city? Fix the fields, prioritize it, and have the right kids playing on the right size diamond that's safe and playable. One bad bounce and it hits a kid in the face, they're never going to want to play the game again. I'm sorry, I had to hit on my soapbox. It pisses me off.
Nope, nothing to add. Well said. We're going to take a break here. Coming back on the other side, 888-957-9570. Same number to call or text. Let's dive into this Warriors-Rockets matchup because we got Ryan Hollins coming up at 6:50, Rockets TV color analyst and 10-year NBA vet. We got Dave Fleming coming up at 8:30. Get back into the Giants, and at some point we will get into the 49ers and the red and gold. But again, biggest story in the Bay right now, it is Game 2, Western Conference playoffs, Round 1 in Houston. Warriors can put a chokehold on the series early, winning the first two in Houston. We'll talk about it on the other side at Spadoni at Shasky. It's going to be brought to you by San Francisco International Airport. Starting at 5:30 with Warriors Live, and obviously the voice of the Warriors here for 95.7 The Game, Tim Roy on the call with the great Tom Tolbert. We'll be locked into that. We'll have all that reaction tomorrow. We got NFL draft reaction on Friday. We got Niners OTAs yesterday. We got the Giants getting clapped by the Brew Crew yesterday. There's a lot happening. We also had this drop towards the end of our show yesterday. I think it dropped during our Slater interview. It was the anonymous NBA player poll around the league. And you have these in every sport, right? Whether it's baseball, whether it's football, and obviously this one's going to be basketball related, but you know, it's who's the most overrated player, who's the most underrated player, what's the best organization, who's the worst coach, who's the best coach, all that baked into it. And do you want to guess, Joe, who the league's best organization was according to this anonymous player poll via The Athletic? What is the league's best organization? 137.
It's not the Knicks.
It is not the New York Knicks. I don't think they got a vote. But 137 votes were cast from NBA players on the league's best organizations.
It's not the Heat. It's not going to be the Lakers.
No, the Heat were up there, though. They got 5.8%.
Lakers I would say the Clippers, the Warriors.
Clippers, nope, Clippers not there.
Really?
Not top 10. Warriors, you said? Warriors?
Yeah, Warriors.
That is the correct answer. Number one.
They're number one?
Number one.
I haven't seen any of these players.
That was actually very loud. That was my bad.
Yeah, that was loud.
I woke people up. You need to wake up right
when
now.
When I do that, when I'm on my phone in bed and the you know, whatever video is way too loud, Michelle just elbows me.
Well, hopefully it's the right
video. Wow, they're the number one.
Yeah. 21.9% of the 137 votes that came in voted the Golden State Warriors as the league's best organization. Number two was the Oklahoma City Thunder, 17.5%.
Really?
And then the Boston Celtics, which makes sense, right? They're 15.3% as well. And actually, I lied real quick. You said the Clippers? I missed this. They actually had the fourth highest vote, so I apologize.
I would assume, because Ballmer does everything top-notch.
8.8% of the vote there. Yeah. Then it's the Heat, Lakers, Spurs, Cavs, and then Bucks. So the Warriors dominating the league's best organization. And then this is what one of the players had to say. They were first class. So this is obviously a former Warrior that had to say this.
Huh.
Quote, they were first class. Steve Kerr came from San Antonio. He knew a lot of principles. They do a really good job of taking care of the players and the families. And that is so important.
Interesting.
And that I think that's why a big reason why Jimmy Butler has acclimated himself here so damn well.
You think Wiggins was the one who said that?
Might have been. It might have been. They loved Wiggins.
Yeah, I know.
They did. They had a lot of respect.
Dario Saric. I'm just trying to think of some guys the last couple of years.
Well, DiVincenzo, I don't know if he has a family. Clay, obviously.
No, but DiVincenzo loved it here. That's a great point. Like, he did really love it here. Chris Paul? You think Chris Paul was happy?
I think Chris Paul sneakily enjoyed his time here. Sneakily.
Except for, you know, Pods getting subbed in before him in a play-in game.
Well, that was a tough look. I try to wipe away that play-in game from last year from my memory. But, like, what does that tell you? Like, when I tell you that, like, the players the Golden State Warriors, let's not sleep on the fact that the Warriors are viewed as the best organization in basketball and one of the most, if not the most, financially profitable sports organization in North America. That's insane.
I separate the two.
15 years ago.
So, like, the Knicks are worth a lot, right?
Yes.
But clearly their front office. Clearly ownership. Their owner is completely insane.
Yes.
And a lot of the players, even though they love playing for the Knicks brand and all that, they don't like playing for that owner, right? So, like, I separate the two. Ownership has been excellent in terms of being profitable and making money and all that stuff. I just think that the situation that Steve Kerr creates is a very player-driven environment. You know, we think about Mike Tomlin. Tomlin's like a player's coach in football. Wouldn't you agree?
Yes.
Belichick was not a player's coach.
You sent me that Mike Tomlin like quote the other week, and it was so good about coaching and wanting to coach like difficult players, right?
It's one of my favorite quotes I've ever seen. He's like, oh, you're telling me this guy hasn't reached his potential or whatever? Like, well, that means you just don't want to coach him.
Yeah.
And it actually kind of reminded me of Shanahan. Mm. Well, like, Shanahan likes a more well-polished player as opposed to having to coach him up.
Right.
You know, he doesn't love the projects, even though he took a project in Trey Lance as his biggest
ironic
swing and miss. So everyone has their different things. But I think that, like, the culture of the Warriors to me is, hey, we trust you to be an adult. Wouldn't you agree?
Absolutely, I would agree with that.
Okay.
Yes.
And I think it starts with, like, hey, look at Steph. He's comfortable with who he is. We embrace who he is. He has interests away from the game. You know, we just want him, when he is on the floor, to be mentally right. You know, it's almost like one of these new modern internet companies where you walk into all the offices and, like, they got beanbags everywhere. Whereas, like, when I think of the Miami Heat, and I've talked about this before, they're a boot camp.
Yes.
You are going to get in shape. You're going to be in the best shape of your life. You might hate us.
Heat culture.
You might hate us at some point, but at the end, you're going to never be able to live without us.
Heat culture similar to the Patriot way under Bill Belichick.
That is spot on.
Yeah.
Like, you know who I think the Warriors remind me of in the NFL? Sean McVay.
Ooh, that's a good one, the Rams.
Yeah. Oh, you bounced around. You're a veteran. Like, we'll make it work here.
They're never out of it. They're going to be in on everyone. They're going to be taking the temperature on everything.
Player empowerment. Yeah. You know what I mean? Young players, either you can play with us or you can't. It's pretty straightforward.
And I would love to play for not only Steve Kerr, but Sean McVay as well.
Yeah, and yeah. I just think that the – and I've made this analogy before. If we were going school, the Warriors are like an art school. Right? Mm-hmm. Where we embrace your inner painter or
shout out Academy of Art.
Exactly. Whereas, you know, a place like the Miami Heat would end up being more like boot camp. Now, I would call the Lakers situation LeBron's homeschool.
That's not bad.
Okay.
That's, you see JJ Redick dropping 5 F bombs yesterday on live TV when they were going to break. It was so good. By the way, Lakers even up that series. One game apiece, heading back to Minnesota now. 94-85 with the win over Minnesota. Winner of that series would take on the winner of the Lakers, of the Warriors and Rockets series.
I'm not surprised that players like being here. Think about this, right? You know, no one's going to scream at you on the court. No one's going to chastise you on the court. Like Steve Kerr, in the 10 years, 11 years, 12 years, however long he's been here, 11, 12 years, how many times has he berated a player on the floor?
It doesn't happen.
No.
No. Now, the other players will do that on behalf of him.
Yes, they
will. I think of that Andre Iguodala meme in the finals with Wiggins walking over and Iggy doing like, what are you doing, man? He's like, get over here.
Yeah, but it wasn't like, I'm going to punch your lights out.
It was admonishing like a child almost. Like, that's what he's like. Or Draymond would get at it. Like,
sure.
I've seen Steph at times when that season, what was that, 2021, where it was a trying season for the whole team. Like, that was the most I think I've seen Steph frustrated, is yelling at his teammates on the bench.
But it wasn't.
But it doesn't happen.
Like exactly.
That's like the one time I can come up with it.
I mean, we're talking about 4 or 5 incidences in 11, 12
years. It's not Dwight Howard and Anthony Davis having to get separated game one of the season.
Exactly.
By the way, Warriors postseason coverage, Joe, is brought to you by the Agape Golf Tournament on Monday, April 28th at Stone Tree Golf Club, presented by Atco Pest Control. Steiny and Goo are going to be broadcasting live from 10 to 2. And if you want to play, go to 95centthegame.com and click on the events tab to sign up. All proceeds will benefit the North Bay and Golden Gate Regional Centers, as well as the San Francisco Autism Society of the Bay Area. That is awesome. Shasky and I going to be playing next Monday. Willard and Dibs are as well. Cannot wait.
So, like, I think the way the Warrior culture is right now, and especially if you're a guy who's, you know, has a family and you've been in the league for a while, it's very player friendly. And I think because of Steph and Draymond and all that, you can do that. Let's say the Warriors were starting from scratch, right? And they had none of those players that I brought up. I'm not sure that culture would be perfect for a bunch of 20-year-olds.
Yeah, no, that's a good point. I don't know if Steve Kerr could do that.
I don't know.
All he's known are veterans on his team.
Sure.
That's all he's known. That's all he's been a part of. And when he was a player, being a championship player, and obviously with the Bulls and Spurs, he was one of those younger guys. But even with the Bulls team, he was a journeyman prior to that.
Yeah.
He was bouncing around, so... No, it's a good point.
Like, if he was coaching, I'm just going to throw some names. If he was coaching the Wizards currently. Well, okay, let's forget the Wizards. Let's go.
Jordan Poole.
Let's go like a younger, more fun. If he was coaching the Detroit Pistons.
Let's go Portland Trailblazers, please.
Portland Trailblazers. I don't know if that specific culture would match the needs of a team that's the age of what those guys are.
Okay.
I think structure and boundaries are important for younger players that aren't as established. I think when you have the infrastructure of Draymond and Steph Curry, you can implement a culture that's completely different than the Trailblazers. Culture.
Let's pick this conversation up on the other side with Ryan Hollins, who is the Rockets TV color analyst, 10-year NBA vet. We'll talk to him about game 2 tonight between the Warriors and Rockets. And it's going to be brought to you by Warriors Live today, presented by Xfinity. Stream sports for the best seat in the house with Xfinity. Bring on the good stuff. And that's what's coming up with the game, brought to you by Fremont Bank. Here for you, here for good. For Golden State Warriors basketball, Warriors are up 1-0. Can they go up 2-0 heading back to Chase Center? That would be massive. I know on paper you can't win the series tonight, but you can put an absolute stranglehold on it with a win in Houston, Joe. And I'm looking at, again, the big boys, as always. Can Steph and Jimmy replicate what they did in game one? And can some of the other guys step up offensively? I'm looking at Moses Moody potentially stepping up tonight. He had some big shots. Can he get more of those to fall down? Well, where is his psyche at right now after hitting those big shots? I think that was a big mental boost for him. Buddy Hield, are we going to get a buddy game? I'm waiting. Quinn Post, that was his first NBA playoff action. Did he calm down at all? I'm going to need some buckets from him. Is Looney going to play a little bit more? Is J.K. going to play at all? We shall see. Gary Payton, obviously. It might not be a Gary Payton game. It might not be a Gary Payton series. But can't wait to talk about all that, all show, all day long, Joe.
There's one element of this game that has me desperately, desperately worried, and it's the psychological portion of Draymond maintaining his emotions. I think that Houston should crank up the physicality and continue to try to do everything they can to get underneath his skin. I think that's actually a great tactic.
Okay, and we're going to talk about it right now with Ryan Hollins, who joins us on the River Islands Guest Line. As all guests on 95.7 The Game appear on the River Islands Guest Line, is it time for you to discover the islands, River Islands in Lathrop. Ryan, good morning. How you doing, man?
Good morning. How you doing? Doing good.
Doing great. It's a little windy out here, but we'll power through. Allergies. This is our flu game today for Joe Shasky and Joe Spadoni, myself. Your takeaways from game one, I want to get into, Ryan, because I think a lot of us felt heading into this series, like it's obviously going to be the grizzled veterans, the experience against the young guys, the big size and the athleticism of one Houston Rockets team. Ime Udoka, obviously, instilling that physical mindset. And for a second there, it thought maybe, just maybe, the Rockets could pull this thing out. The Warriors blow a 23-point lead, and all of a sudden, it's just like, oh, God, here we go again for Warriors fans. Warriors hang on. Big buckets from Jimmy Butler, Moses Moody, Draymond Green layup from a Pajemski save, all of that. What were your initial thoughts after game one, and how big and massive is this game two for Houston to just try to stay alive in the series?
The season is on the line tonight for Houston. I don't think, not that it's impossible, but with the youth, you know, no one wants to be staring at 0-2, and even more so with a young team confidence. They don't know how to win in the playoffs. They're still learning that. So once they get that win, they can go, oh, this is how it feels. This is what it looks like. But I'm extremely optimistic for tonight. Houston actually did a lot of things well in that last game, and I'm going to give you one thing that really stands out for me. What really stands out for me is that Houston was able to be physical. If Golden State was more physical and they won that battle, I think Houston ends up with 20 offensive rebounds. I'd be extremely concerned, and that's a huge part of why they struggled in that second quarter. But because they were able to win the rebounding battle and be physical and do elements of what they do well, I think there's a huge chance for Houston to win this game tonight. Obviously, you know, it came down to having a Steph Curry, not having a Steph Curry. I think, what was it, about 9 points that he hits with 5 seconds left on the clock. You play excellent defense. So the hard play, the work is there. And then Houston, I think, missed 9 free throws. And then on top of missing 9 free throws, you know, you end up turning the basketball over, you know, a costly 10 or more so times. And, like, there are a couple, 4 or 5 were bad turnovers. So obviously with the physical play, some of that is going to be there. But you're going to have to work through that. But the free throws are controllable in that Houston was physical and had some success there. I do feel a little bit more confident.
Well, then I'm looking at it from Houston's perspective because I agree with you on the physicality. I mean, we were actually just discussing it before you came on. You know, I think that the psychological and, you know, physical warfare, if you will, between Şengün and Dylan and Draymond and just the way Ime Udoka coaches, it feels like he's bringing a physical element from the sidelines. You can almost feel it permeating through the television. And that's got to be a big part of their game plan today. I'm going old school on you. I feel like if I was part of the Rockets, I would definitely be cranking up the physical intensity.
Yeah, that's something that you got to assume you're absolutely going to see. It really paid off. And again, you got to assume Steve Kerr may go double big. You know, he threw out Post and Draymond, but he may have to go Draymond and Looney for Steven Adams. But Houston was really, really good on the boards. Now, again, Houston had extremely poor spacing, which really hurt their offense. At times, you had 2 and 3 guys cutting to the basket at the same time. They're playing hard, but they weren't using their heads. Now you want to get a mix of both, and I believe that's really going to pay off. So you're right. The physicality was good. Obviously, expect Golden State to look to match that. Now, here's the thing when you play the Warriors. Game two is going to be nothing like we saw in game one. And I'm expecting a big wrinkle. Hey, he may come out and just say, you know what? We're zoning this thing up. We're zoning up. Beat us from the outside. Show us that you can do it. So I expect adjustments from C. Kerr. And for Houston, the way you play through the adjustments when you're young, physical play, toughness, those are the things that you can control. So for Houston, I do feel a lot more confident in the controllables, how hard we play, how hard those guys play, going out and making free throws, which is something that's very controllable. And a lot of those elements could end up paying off in a Houston win. And at the end of the day, I'll throw this out from Golden State standpoint, that Jimmy Butler is really good. Like he's playing 40 minutes, and he's pacing himself through those 40 minutes. But Jimmy still doesn't look as comfortable as you'd expect in a Golden State uniform. Doesn't quite look like Jimmy Butler. I don't think he has a problem deferring, but he's not the Jimmy that we've seen. Not to say that's not in there, but I don't know if they can win with him not being at 100%. Right now, he's at 80 to 90. There are moments where he takes over. Looks like he's looking to be more of a facilitator than score. And then kind of he's saying, hey, after everything's settled down, then I'll score the basketball. Definitely smart move to play through Steph. But I don't know if that's Jimmy being the best version of Jimmy. And we'll see what that looks like tonight. Now, Jimmy comes into play. I don't think that's something that that Houston's really quantified for.
Talking with Ryan Hollins here on the Morning Roast, Spadoni and Chasky, Rockets TV color analyst, 10-year NBA vet. And Ryan, is it just as simple for the Rockets tonight? Can you just make some open shots, right? I mean, I saw Fred VanVleet. I think he's just still missed one. I saw the ball just skip past here over on Kearney. 4 of 19 for him, 2 of 13 from beyond the arc. Jalen Green, 3 of 15. I mean, is it as simple as just knocking down some shots? And from game one to that point, how much was that from the Warriors' defense, and how much was that just on the Rockets just missing open looks?
It was absolutely both. To knock down shots, you got to get open shots. And Houston's spacing was horrible. Golden State's one of the better defensive teams in the NBA. They do an unbelievable job of keeping the ball in front of them. And because they keep the ball in front of them, what happens is, you know, it's really hard for you to manufacture offense. Now, Golden State, again, they're physical on the perimeter. They really square you off, and it's a unique style to play against. So, you know, let's give Golden State the credit they absolutely deserve defensively. If the spacing is better, Houston get flow. And there was no flow to the game. It was interesting. That first half was as physical as I've seen a game allow from the referees. And they really looked to clean that thing up in the second half. But in the meanwhile, it was a tough watch. I mean, there was a lot going on there in that game. So, again, we'll see if the referees continue to allow that style of play. And again, hats off to Golden State because while Houston won the physicality inside, the outside physicality was absolutely won by Golden State.
Can you elaborate on why you think Jimmy Butler's not playing well? Because you kind of threw that in there, and it kind of stunned me because I feel like he's played really well the last three games. Why did you say that?
I didn't say Jimmy played bad. I said Jimmy doesn't look comfortable. The Jimmy Butler as a 1A, Jimmy Butler as a 1B is really good, but I think there's moments where he can even look for his shot more. It's not that Jimmy played bad at all. I think Jimmy's doing an unbelievable job trying to fit in and trying to do the things necessarily for the team to win. But I think for big, big success for Golden State, he's going to have to be even more aggressive. And again, he does. He's a great defender. He knows how to fit in. He knows how to cut. But he's playing within the offense. And Jimmy's a loud personality. You've got a loud game. And I'm not saying that right now. It's not that saying that he's playing bad, but I still think with this trade happening mid-season, he's trying to figure out how to be the best version.